And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett. I wanted to give you an update on Tex's health. He is home and resting. His strength is returning slowly, so your continued prayers for his full recovery are greatly appreciated. We here at Power of Prophecy pray that you will agree that this repeated message from Tex is a timeless classic for yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. This is the fastest hour in radio land, so stick with us. We've got a lot today, and I'll tell you something. We're going to peer deep inside. I don't know if you'd call it with our periscope or telescope or microscope, but some kind of a scope. We're going to be looking at something that is affecting your life, my life, the future destiny of America and the whole world. And I want to assure you that what you learn on today's program, much of it you will have never heard about. Some of it you will. And maybe you've already come to your own conclusions on this subject, but maybe you can add on to those conclusions or revise them after you hear this program. You know, for some years now, I've been exposing the satanic Jews in our very midst. And I have been unmasking the secret plots and conspiratorial activities of the Jews in the nation of Israel. Now, some people are perplexed and bewildered why Tex Mars would find this such an important topic that I would discuss it so often. As one woman recently wrote me, she said, "Dear Tex, my pastor says the Jews are basically Christians, that they love and respect the Old Testament, and that they are our elder brothers in the faith. So I do not understand at all why you attack them. No one ever speaks ill of Jews except you." Well, okay. You'll find out, dear sister, on today's program why I attack them. Now, please understand something. I am a Christian. And as a Christian, I believe what the Bible says about who might be saved. And isn't it a wonderful thing that Christ Jesus said, "Whosoever will may come." Wow. Whosoever will. Well, does that include Mexicans? Does that include people from the Fiji Islands or Cuba or China? Well, of course it does. Whosoever will. What about the Jews? Text for the things you're saying about them. Can they be saved too? Well, of course they can. I love what Paul said in the Bible. He was explaining that, you know, really, all of Israel means all who belong to Jesus. That's the spiritual Israel. And he says the Jews have been cut off from the tree of life. But they can be grafted in if, he said, they do not persist in their rejection of Jesus Christ. In other words, if they believe and are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, they will be grafted back into the tree of life. And then at that point, whatever a man's race, whatever a woman's race, ethnic group, background, nationality, when you're grafted in or when you're born again into the tree of life, friend, you're a Christian. You're part of a new race, a spiritual race that will live forever in the heavens with Jesus Christ. Eternal life. So please don't try to tell me that Jews are so evil they can't be saved. There are a lot of Gentiles that are more evil than Jews. They're going to be saved too if they repent. And that's the wonderful news. You say, "Well, Tex, I'm listening to you now from some prison in Indiana or Mississippi. I'm on death row. They've let me have a shortwave radio and I'm listening to your program. Do you mean I am eligible after what horrible thing I did? Am I eligible for eternal life? I'm a black man. I'm a white man. I'm a Jew. Can I receive eternal life? I am here to guarantee it. Why? Because it was guaranteed to me. Why? Because Jesus Christ said it. I believe him. I know it's true. Yes, you can be saved. I don't care what your race did or your nation did. I don't care that America is now bombing innocent people in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iraq. I don't care how evil this nation of America is. I don't care how evil Iraq or any other nation is. I don't care how evil Israel is or Russia or some other nation or the British, Australians. I don't care how evil your nation is or your leaders are. You are an individual. God looks in every heart. He knows what is in the heart of every man. Every American is not you. You are an individual. I love that God has designed us. It is interesting. Our fingerprints are unique. Our DNA, every person has a unique DNA that no one else has. And God, why did he do that? I don't know. He wants to distinguish. Maybe he uses DNA and fingerprints. I doubt it. He just knows. He's greater than even that's. We think that's modern law enforcement, scientific technology. He's way beyond our thoughts and technologies and education, of course. But I start off with that thesis because some people say, Texas is an anti-Semite. He hates Jews. He thinks they're it's impossible for them to be saved. He thinks, no. They're just like every man. Even as evil as he is, it's possible for Charles Manson to be saved. Even Jeffrey Dahmer, a cannibal killer, if he accepted Jesus before he was murdered in prison, then he will be saved. You say, that's not good. That's not, I don't want to have Manson and Dahmer in heaven with me. Let me tell you something, friends. When you're saved, you're born again in spirit and in truth. And the old Dahmer, the old Manson fades away. But as I've seen, I don't know that Dahmer ever accepted Jesus. And I've heard, I've seen news item after news item about Manson. He's as evil and despicable as ever. So it doesn't look like he's going to accept Jesus. He's going to split hell wide open. That's his problem. I'm sorry for him, but you are a different person. And God doesn't say, now let me see, you're an American. I'll give you so many points. You're a Jew. I'll give you so many points. No. You are an individual. Your heart is what God looks at. He reads the internals, everything in your mind, everything in your heart. Are you really repentant? Do you feel convicted of your sins? God knows that. You say, well, I walked down the aisle of a church back when I was 13. I gave my life to Christ back then. Well, did you really look at yourself now? I have an evangelist friend of mine. He called me up one day. Said, Tex, an amazing thing happened. I preached at this church, had about 500 members, and God just inspired me. He was so thrilled, not that God inspired him in his sermon, but he says, I just knew the presence of God was in that church. I said, well, what happened? Yeah, I was thrilled because I knew this man was telling me the truth. He said, Tex, that was an old church there. A lot of older people in their middle age and all that. He says, and pastor said no one had walked forward to be saved in months. They were already saved. They just came back to hear the message. He said, out of the 500 and something, 400 got saved. I said, 400 got saved? He said, these people claimed they were saved for years before. But I told him what it means to be a Christian. I told him what Jesus required, repentance and true repentance. And he says, and we prayed and we prayed. And I'll tell you what, over 400 came to Jesus. Out of 500 and something that thought they were Christians. Some of them might have been the deacons and elders of that church. I don't know. Well, I said, good for you, my friend. Good for God. And good for those people. Now, I don't know what nationality they were. He didn't tell me. He didn't say, now, they were all white people, Tex. You can be sure of that. No, I didn't ask him. I don't care what kind of church he went to. I don't care if he went to a Baptist or Episcopal or whatever church he went to. There again, God doesn't look at the denomination. He looks at the individual heart. Some people say, well, you got to be Catholic. Hey, the Pope's Catholic, but God is going to judge him by his works. And the chief work is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Or are you saved through faith? If the Pope did not believe in Jesus, and he says he does, But if he is not saved through faith, if he does not repent of his sins, oh, excuse me. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself here on earth. And this is all you've got. Enjoy all the rewards, Mr. Pope, because this is all you get. Okay, now, I said all that because I want to talk to you today about satanic Jews. How they have turned America into a savage wasteland, into a cesspool. And I'm going to name names, and I'm going to tell you why they're doing it. And you're going to understand what I mean about this. And it may surprise you. I want to start with the book that Jewish leaders hate the most in the whole world, called Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, I don't want to get into the history of this, because later on I'm going to do a whole program or two just on the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. But I want you to know these are reality. I was discussing this with my good friend Galen Ross. He has published written many books. Galen Ross, the Who's Who of the Elite. He published that book and many others, including a book revealing the true killers of JFK. But I asked Galen, what do you think about the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion? He said, I've really researched that. Here's a man, I think Galen must be about 70 years old, engineer, all kind of degrees. He was in intelligence in the Navy. He said, I have thoroughly researched that, the origins. It is genuine. And I said, you know, I've investigated that too. And you're absolutely right, Brother Ross. Now, Henry Ford got into a lot of trouble with Jewish financiers. They cut off all his funding for the Ford Motor Company. He founded the Ford Motor Company. He really basically invented the assembly line that made modern manufacturing possible. He published a series of papers that they put into a book called The International Jew. He published these articles in the Dearborn, Michigan Independent newspaper. And I want to read to you what he said about the protocols. First of all, I want you to tell you that he defined what the Jewish nation was. And he didn't use his own definition. We're talking about Henry Ford, who wrote on this important subject. Brilliant man. He said that the definition of the Jewish nation was best given by Theodore Herzl. Herzl is the man who was the inspiration, you might say, although Rothschild was always behind Herzl. In 1897, he was the inspiration for a World Jewish Congress. Okay? It was really a World Zionist Congress. 1897, all the most important Jews, the billionaires and so forth, all the high-level rabbis came together over in Basel, Switzerland, and they plotted out what their plans were going to be. And Herzl later wrote about his ideas for the nation of Israel that was not yet founded. It was Herzl that inspired Baron Rothschild to found the city of Tel Aviv in 1909 and to sponsor in the British and American governments. Yes, Rothschild did the dirty work with all of his money to ensure the founding of the nation of Israel in 1948. But it was Herzl's idea to bring all these Jews together for this World Zionist Congress. And he gave us a definition of the Jewish nation. It was basically this. We are a racial people of the same blood. Wherever we're at throughout the world as a Jew, whether it's we're an American citizen, a Russian citizen, an Iraqi citizen, it doesn't matter. If you're a Jew, you are part and parcel, said Herzl, of the Jewish nation. So the Jewish nation is made up of all the Jews on the face of the earth, that blood. That's Herzl's definition. A lot of people ask me, what is a Jew? Because Sammy Davis Jr. was a black man, but he converted to Judaism. Does that make him a Jew? Marilyn Monroe, the famous movie star, the sex goddess, so-called, she converted to Judaism. Does that make her a Jew? Herzl says, no. You want to convert to Judaism? Good. You can lick our boots, I guess he would probably say. But the important thing is, you got to be a racial type. Prove your race is Jewish. In that sense, then, they're bigoted and racist because Americans say, we don't care what your blood is. If you're an American citizen, you're an American citizen. We respect you as that. We honor you as that. The Jews say the Jewish nation is all Jews. Even if a Jew says, I'm not part of the Jewish nation, they are, says Herzl. I guess they don't know their own mind. So the Jewish rabbis and the top people say, Rothschild say, you're a Jew, you're a Jew. And if you don't go along with their idea of the Jewish nation state, you're a self-loathing Jew, full of self-hatred. You've got some kind of mental block. That's what they claim about Jews that are awakened, especially those who become Christians or patriots. Now, Herzl went a step further. Not only is it a nation made up of a blood type around the world now, it has no borders really, although they wanted a nation of Israel and they got it. But even though they have a nation of Israel, they say that all the Jews in the United States and every other country in the world are still part of the nation of Israel. So they're like dual citizens. That's why Rahm Emanuel, the White House Chief of Staff, volunteered and went and served in the Israeli military even though he's an American citizen. He didn't give a big hoot about the American military or any of our traditions and values. He went and served in the Israeli. He's been rewarded by America. He was a congressman, a big banker. Now he's White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel. But he says to America, shaft you. I'm going to go off and serve in the Israeli military. There's my country. When a Jewish boy reaches a certain age, he's given a festival or a celebration called a bar mitzvah. So his son recently had his bar mitzvah. Guess where it was held? Rahm Emanuel flew all the guests over to Israel. They had the big bar mitzvah there in Israel. America's not good enough for Rahm Emanuel. Yeah, well. Herzl said this about the Jewish nation that is composed of all the Jews on the face of the earth, even though Israel is their center point. And they are dual citizens of the country where they reside and Israel, he claims, or he would have claimed. Now they claim it today. All the Jews claim that. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, says that, as every prime minister has stated. He says, but there's more to the Jewish nation. Now listen to this. The Jewish nation is held together, not only by blood or race, but more importantly than that, he says, they have a common enemy. Everywhere they live, there is a common enemy. I wonder who that would be. They have a name for it. It's called the Goyim, the cattle. That means Gentile. Everywhere in the world, the Jew is faced with Gentiles. They must live among the Gentiles. And according to the Talmud, their own holy book that they put place above the Old Testament. Get that, above the Old Testament. And I will prove that to you. The Talmud is above the Old Testament in the esteem of the rabbis. And it says that the best of the Gentiles need to be killed. And along the way to killing them, you can cheat them in business. You can rape their daughters and sons through pedophilia acts. It doesn't matter because they're a bunch of cattle. They're there to be taken, savaged, and ripped apart financially, commercially, politically. And finally, their lives are to be taken unless they bow down to the Jewish King of Zion who is to come. That would be the Antichrist, the Bible would say. The common enemy is the Gentile world. And Henry Ford said that. He said, I refer to Theodore Herzl's definition of the Jewish nation as one held together by a common enemy, and then reflect that this common enemy is the Gentile world. Very interesting. He also says, this is Henry Ford's writing, he says, in the American Hebrew magazine of June 25th, 1920, Herman Bernstein, that's one of the top Jewish authorities in America at the time, wrote this, quote, about a year ago, a representative of the U.S. Department of Justice submitted to me a copy of the manuscript of The Jewish Peril, a book written by Professor Nelis, which is also called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. This Department of Justice official asked for my opinion of the work. This is Herman Bernstein, a Jew speaking. He, that is the Department of Justice official, said that the manuscript was a translation of a Russian book published in 1905, which was later suppressed by the communists. The manuscript was supposed to contain protocols of the wise men of Zion and to have been read by Dr. Theodore Herzl at a secret conference of the Zionist Congress at Basel, Switzerland. He expressed the opinion that the work was probably that of Dr. Theodore Herzl. He said that he had showed the work to some American senators in the U.S. Senate who had seen the manuscript and were amazed to find that so many years ago, a scheme has been elaborated by the Jews, which is now being carried out, and that Bolshevism, that is communism, had been planned long ago, years ago, by Jews who sought to destroy the world. So friends, when you ask, are they legitimate? Well, evidently these senators thought so. And this representative of the U.S. Department of Justice believed it so. Henry Ford said it was so. Henry Ford went on to say this in an interview published in the New York World newspaper, February 17, 1921. He was asked, do you believe that they are legitimate, that is, the protocols? This is what he said, quote, the only statement I care to make about the protocols is that they fit in with what is going on. They are 16 years old, and they have fitted the world situation up to this time. They fit it now. Friends, that was 1921, and I have read the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion a dozen times, and they perfectly fit the situation going on today. This was the blueprint. It is the blueprint for the Illuminati elite. You know, the founder of the Order of the Illuminati was a man named Adam Weishaupt. He founded the Illuminati in 1776. He was a Jesuit priest. Shows you how the Jesuits and the Illuminati Jews worked together. He was a professor at the University of Ingolstadt. And Weishaupt was a Jew. Yes, he was a Catholic Jesuit priest, a professor at a Jesuit university, but he was a Jew. His parents were Orthodox Jews who supposedly had converted to the Catholic faith. But friends, they do this all the time. They're infiltrators. They're provocateurs. They're saboteurs within the faith. Now, this fact seems to be neglected whenever Weishaupt's name gets mentioned. And a lot of people say, yeah, it's the Catholic Church and the Jesuits. They're the ones that founded the Illuminati. But Weishaupt was a Jew. Okay. Nothing but a Jew, in my opinion. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit, and we're going to name some names and do some other things a little bit later on. But I want to talk to you about the Talmud. Now you see the plot to destroy the world. And I'm going to show you exactly in their own Talmud how they're in the protocols, how they're planning on do this. Now the Jewish Talmud, remember, is their holy book. It's like the New Testament for Christians. It's the same as the Quran for the Arabs. Do not believe, pastor, listen to me, you are an idiot and you are ignorant if you think that the Old Testament is the Bible for the Jews. My goodness. Read the Talmud and you will find out the Talmud says that the Talmud, which is the wisdom of the Jewish sages, the ancient rabbis, is above. In the Talmud, it is taught that even God himself studies the Talmud, the sayings of the rabbis. When God wants to know a religious fact or how to handle a religious situation, God himself has to study the Talmud. Now, we know God inspired the apostles and others to write the New Testament. God authored the New Testament and the Old Testament. And that's why the Jews, the rabbis, don't accept the Old Testament as the ultimate book. They want their own self to be God. They collectively, as a nation, are the God people. God's chosen, but really they're teaching God. Amazing. Now listen to this. The reason why preachers today, pastors and others, politicians, they don't know anything about the Talmud. They don't know anything about the protocols, certainly. But let's just look at the Jews' holy book, the Talmud. And I'm going to quote you from the Talmud. And I'm going to give you the book of the Talmud that it's in. So there's no question about it. The reference is Baba Messiah 114:6. And here's what it says to the Jews. You are human beings. That's what the Jews are told. You are human beings, but the nations of the world are not human beings, but beasts. The Gentiles are just beasts. Cattle, but you are true human beings. Now, what about this Talmud? Or what about these beasts? Let's start with that first, the Gentile. Now, in Chosen Hamaspot 425:50 of the Talmud, it says, quote, those who do not own Torah and the prophets, that's the Old Testament prophets, must all be killed. Whoever has power to kill them, let him kill them openly until they are all done away with. If you don't believe in Judaism and what the Jews teach, kill them. Now here's interesting. It talks about the power of the Jews. In Baba Batra 55a, it says, quote, if a Jew has struck his spade, like shovel, into the ground of the goy, into the ground of the Gentiles, he has become the master of the whole. Take one shovelful and you're master of it all, in terms of your mastery over the Gentiles. And it says also in the Talmud, quote, all property of other nations belongs to the Jewish nation, which consequently is entitled to seize upon it without any scruples. Wow. An Orthodox Jew, it says, is not bound to observe principles of morality toward peoples of other nations. And on the contrary, he should be opposed to morality if it were profitable for himself or for the interest of Jews in general. Not only are the Jews required to be, to be immoral among the Gentiles, this is a demand placed upon them. Now, let's go a little further. Let's go to the protocols now. First of all, protocol number 2 of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion talks about war, and it says that the Jews, the Zionist, will foment many wars, but they will not be like the old wars. They will be economic wars. Let me read this to you. By the way, they say that wars, economic wars, will be the very foundation of the Jewish predominance. That's how the Jews will get ahead, through war. Why do you think we're fighting a war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Yemen, and next we'll fight one in Iran? Why? Because through these economic wars, the Jews keep gaining more and more. Here's what it says in protocol number 2. It is indispensable for our purpose that wars should not result in territorial gains. Should not result in territorial gains. War will be brought on through the economic ground. Wow. They want oil. They want the riches of those countries. Think of the massive amounts of oil and minerals that are found in Iraq and Iran. And now they're claiming that Afghanistan has all these minerals. That's what they want. And wars are fought for economic means, not for territory. No doubt about it. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of people say, but Israel is our ally. They're our friends. Listen to what it says in the protocols. It says, quote, we appear on the scene as alleged saviors. But then we mold the people to become socialist, communist. Wow. That's what Obama's doing. He came as a savior. The Jews molded him, mentored him, groomed him, raised him up. Get my video, Rothschild's Choice. So that the people of the United States would enter the ranks of the fighting force, the Jews would be behind the scenes, and we would become then closer and closer to that ideal state of socialism, communism. And the protocols calls communism social masonry. Oh, the Masons, they're communists too. They're social Masons, socialist masonry or social masonry. He says this will be our, the protocol says, this will be our brotherly rule, the solidarity of all humanity. That's how they're going to bring us together. Economic wars. They will appear as the alleged saviors. And then they will bring the world into new economic systems. Socialism, communism, social masonry. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Mars here. So glad you're listening to Power of Prophecy today on this important topic of the satanic Jews and how they've turned America into a savage wasteland. Have you studied religions today? Oh, there's so many religions. There's hundreds of religions, but of course there are those that are the largest, the biggest that have grasped the minds and hearts of so many people. The Hindus, of course, in the hundreds of millions. There's, of course, the teachings of Confucius in China. There's the Buddhist. Millions have gone that way. Of course, there's Christianity, but then there's many brands of Christianity. But the one religion that is the most devilish of all, it's not the Muslims. Oh, the Muslims have their mosque. But the Bible doesn't warn of the Islamic mosque. It warns of the synagogue of Satan. And I have written a new book. This book is so powerful. I don't know if I may be visiting Jesus for long. I'm sure that the Jews and their rabbis, their secret rabbis, will be so angry at me when they see this book. It's just come off the press, and I want you to have one of the first copies. It's entitled The Holy Serpent of the Jews. The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Why? Is it Judaism? Is it just the religion of the Old Testament? Don't they have everything but Jesus there? Isn't it a nice, holy, pious religion? No, it's not. In fact, this book reveals the rabbis' secret plan. A plan given them by Satan for them, the rabbis, to crush their enemies. That's Christianity. To crush their enemies, and they believe they will be vaulted to the throne of global dominion. Ah, it's so ambitious. It's so secretive. It's so powerfully dangerous. Holy Serpent of the Jews. I'm looking at this book now and the cover is striking. A blue star, the six-pointed star that has the secret code 666. And there's artwork on the front with that star. There's the great serpent. But coming out of its mouth, strangely, is a young man. Coming out of the mouth of the serpent is a young man. Where's he been? Is this the Antichrist? Coming out of the mouth of the beast? Because you see, the serpent is in fact a beast. And Revelation 9 talks about the beast that rises up out of the abyss. The beast called Abaddon. Well, no religion would worship the beast. Who is the serpent, Abaddon? No one would worship him, would they? That would be ridiculous to think that the Jewish rabbis would worship the serpent. Why? What if they actually call him their Messiah? But they do. They do. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, Jesus accused the Jews. What if Jesus told the truth? What if he was saying something that would turn out in history to be correct? He called the Jews, you serpents, you vipers. How can you possibly escape hellfire? That's what Jesus said. How would you like to be called a serpent and a viper by Jesus? That's so horrible. Why did he say that of the Jews? And do they have a doctrine today, a doctrine that reveals them as of their father, the devil? Let me quote you one rabbi. He says, the holy serpent is the fountainhead, root, and essence of God's revelatory light. Another rabbi says, we, the Jews, have journeyed to the center of the world and ended up in the belly of the serpent. How can it be that the Jews are preaching to other Jews that we reside in the belly of the serpent? I want you to know about that. This is the most shocking book. I don't believe I've ever written a book like Holy Serpent of the Jews. I couldn't. Because how much more hideous, how much more grotesque can you get than to imagine a religion that worships the holy serpent and the people pray to the serpent? They don't pray to our God. They say, our father is Abraham. No, Jesus said, your father is not Abraham. If you believed in Abraham, you would believe in me. Well, who is their father? It wasn't Abraham. And it certainly is not Jesus. Then their father is the same one that Jesus identified. He said, your father is the devil. The question is, did Jesus tell the truth? Maybe you doubt him, dear friend. Maybe you say, Jesus lied. They could not be serpents. They couldn't be vipers. They couldn't be of the devil. They're a good religious people. Then Jesus was a liar. But I propose to you, dear friends, that Jesus was a truth teller. That there were no lies in his personality. And he sought only the truth. And for this, they crucified him on the hill overlooking the city of Jerusalem. The name of the book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Holy Serpent of the Jews. Now we're having a special offering of this book. Jerry, he's in the studio here with me. How much is this book? We're offering it for just $20. Wow. Okay, $20. $20 for this book. Add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. As for the serpent book, we'll know what it is. We've just got this book in. It's an amazing book. Holy Serpent of the Jews. Please, order this book. In fact, order 10, 20, 30 copies of this book. $20 each. Help others to know about this. In fact, though they will hate you for it, give a copy to a friend who's a Jew. Tell him you care about his soul. You care about him. You want him to know the truth. And you want to expose the rabbis who have brought this secret plan to the world. You want him to know about Jesus. Holy Serpent of the Jews. $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. Here's how to get your copy. Or more than your copy. Order as many as you can. Please. It's just too important a book. $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. Use our website. It'll be right there in the, you'll see it right in the front section of the, it'll be right on the homepage. That's what they call it, don't they, Jerry? Jerry does the homepage too here. He's really the expert. I guess I'm just big old mouth Tex, you know. But Jerry's the authority on our website. Go there at powerofprophecy.com. Order Holy Serpent of the Jews. Powerofprophecy.com. You can also send us a letter or a little note and say, Tex, send me the book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. We'll get it right out to you. Boy, you'll be amazed. This cover is, striking. As for Holy Serpent of the Jews, total of $25. That'll include the shipping and the postage. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, you can phone us toll-free. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That's during the work week, I guess until about 5:30 or so central time. And anyone who answers the phone will be very friendly and take your order. And if you're not receiving our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, we'll send it to you every month. We won't even charge you 1 cent extra. We'll give you the newsletter free. How about that, folks? A free newsletter every month, exciting articles. I tell you, sometimes I get so excited about writing those articles. I just can't believe it, how exciting I can get, Jerry. I mean, it just thrills me. To let the folks know everybody listens to us on air. They're my friends. You know, that's what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, you know, well, sure, they worshiped him. He was God. Why wouldn't they get on their knees and lay down and prostrate? But then he said to them, I'm your friend. We're friends. Wow. Everywhere I've gone in America and around the world, really, people have come up to me and said, hey, Tex, I'm one of your friends. I like that. Boy, I don't care where they're from. I don't care if they're from Holland or Germany or Tuskegee, Alabama or Michigan or somewhere. They're my friends, and I appreciate them. By the way, I do need to tell people about the Employees Love Gift Fund. Every year we have a campaign. We ask you if you would give. Now, all the money that comes in, it's not a great amount, but it's an amount of money, and we divide it up between the employees. Now, our employees here, they don't have medical coverage. They don't have all these free benefits. So this sort of helps a little bit. If you can give to our employees, give to the employees fund. Just write a check or a money order or send cash. Send it, of course, to Power of Prophecy. But send a separate note and say, this is for the employees fund. For the employees fund. Now, when you do that, we will make sure that every cent goes direct to the employees. Now, I don't touch it. Wanda doesn't touch it. And it's kept in the bank, of course. But then we get it out and we divide it. And everybody gets the same amount, whether they're the janitor or the, like Jerry here, the radio producer, or Michelle, our office manager. Everybody gets the same amount. The employees fund. If you want to give to that, please do. Now, you can give to the ministry at the same time, but tell us how much you want to designate for the ministry and how much for the employees fund. And we would appreciate it so much. We have that campaign every year about this time, and we thank you so much. And now let's return to Power of Prophecy. There are three things in the protocols of the learned elder Zion I want you to know. And then I'm going to give you these names I told you I was going to talk about today. In the protocols, the secret blueprint of the high-level Jewish Illuminati, they say that people blindly believe things in print. That's why the Jews control all of our media. People believe what the media says. And they say that they have taught people through the media to hate each other. Blind hatred, they call it here. A blind hatred. That's what they do. They want black people to hate white people, white to hate black, and so on. I'm not going to hate anybody. I'm not going to hate Jews. You're wasting your time, Illuminati elite, protocols of Zion. Never hate anyone, dear friends. God is love, the Bible says. Now, it says, this hatred will be magnified by the effects of an economic crisis, which will stop dealings on the exchanges and bring industry to a standstill. We shall create by all the secret subterranean methods open to us, and with the aid of gold, which is all in our hands, a universal economic crisis. And everybody then will hate each other. This class will hate this class. Owners will hate, you know, clientele, and blacks will hate whites, and Mexican-Americans will hate the Anglo. Don't hate anybody. You're playing right into their hands. An economic crisis. Have they not caused that? Was Henry Ford not right? Is that not what we have today, an economic crisis? Stirring up feelings of hatred and envy? Envy no man or woman, friends. God will give you whatever you need. Don't envy anybody. Listen, the second thing I want to tell you about the protocols, it says this. It is indispensable for us, that is the Jewish Illuminati, to undermine all faith, to tear of minds out of the goyim, tear out of the minds of the goyim, the very principle of Godhead and the Spirit, and to put in its place arithmetical calculations and material needs. Don't worry about God, faith. That's a bunch of baloney. Think about the new iPad. Don't you want to have that? Think about the new big HD television, big screen. Think about, you know, getting DirecTV and paying for cable so you can watch, you know, the next football extravaganza, the Super Bowl. Watch, you know, this guy, whatever his name is, LeBron James or whatever, has been given $1 billion or whatever he's got. I don't even know. But everybody's almost worshiping the guy. He's greater than Jesus Christ. Look at all the money he's getting as a basketball star. That's what you're to worry about. Your material needs, entertainment, sports. The whole world is worried about Lindsay Lohan and going to jail. Ooh. Forget about God. Think about Lindsay Lohan. And that's the plan of the elite. To destroy our faith. And then finally, and this is just absolutely fantastic, an attack on youth, on our young people, and through the education system, and of course, through entertainment, television, and the media. Listen to what they actually say in the protocols. They say, quote, "We have fooled, bemused, and corrupted the youth of the Goyim." That's the Gentiles. Let me restate that. Now, again, this is right from the protocols. "We have fooled, bemused, and corrupted the youth of the Goyim by rearing them in principles and theories which are known to us to be false, although it is by us that they have been inculcated." They have taught through education and training and the media, entertainment. They have fooled our young people, amused them, corrupted them. By rearing them in principles and theories, rearing them. Who's supposed to be rearing the children? The Bible says to bring up your children in admonition of the Lord, to fear the Lord, to worship the Lord, to be righteous, to be good people, have pure principles. That used to be true in America, not any longer. The television teaches them. Their liberal, radical school teachers teach them. They're Marxists and communists in the college ranks and university ranks. They're teaching our youth. They're the ones rearing our kids. After all, Hillary Clinton wrote a whole book saying this is necessary. It takes a village, not parents, she says. It takes a village to raise kids, meaning the whole world. That's what the Jews love. We'll take your kids. We'll rear them from birth, and they'll hate God. And they'll be prepared through blind hatred to strike back at whoever they think is their enemy. And we'll cause a great economic catastrophe. And we'll create economic wars. And of course, many of the youth will die thinking they're fighting for America, for the cause of righteousness of America. They'll go to Iraq and Afghanistan and bravely give their very blood and lives for oil, for Israel, for the Jews, because we've taught them right, haven't we? Now, some names for you. Look, my friends, and I'm going to say this very fast. We've only got a little bit of time. You may not understand this, but the Communist Party USA was founded by Jews. And as president of longstanding, Gus Hall, his real name, I believe, was Feinberg, and he's from Finland. He was a Jew. The NAACP was not started by black people, but by Jews. The American Civil Liberties Union was founded by Jews. The American Jewish Committee obviously is. The B'nai B'rith, a Masonic Jewish organization made up of Jews. The Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, now doesn't that sound so needy and so good to help the poverty stricken? All they are is a big Jewish front, and it was founded by Morris Dees, a very rich Jew who was in all kind of sexy kink stuff, according to court records even. Southern Poverty Law Center, Jewish. American Israel Political Action Committee, Jew, APAC. And I want to tell you something, friends, you may not understand. The KKK, the Aryan Nations, these neo-Nazi groups, they're all front groups for the Jews. Well, how about that guy that calls himself the American Führer, the new fearless leader of the American Nazis? Turns out his real name is Cohen. He's a Jew. How about the guy that says he's the American Al-Qaeda? He's got he goes on the internet and the FBI's always, but they've been looking for him for years. He's got this, he calls himself, you know, Muhammad or Ahmadinejad. I don't know what he calls himself, but he calls himself, "I'm the American Al-Qaeda. I work with Osama bin Laden. We want to kill all of you Americans. He goes on the online line. And he has a beard. And he has a wears a turban, you know, and a white thing like, you know, like the Arabs wear. And he goes on TV. I'm the American Al-Qaeda. You can't find me. I'm somewhere within your very ranks here in America. Ooh, everybody's so frightened. There's an American guy. He goes on online, and they can't seem to find him. Well, it turns out he has been found. His real name is Adam Perlman. He's Jewish. He's meant to scare you, to frighten you. Ah, yes. Remember back in the hippie era? You know, all the drugs and free sex and Woodstock and demonstrations by these communists. Anti-war. Yeah, well, I'm anti-war too, but I'm not a communist, friend. And listen to this. All these hippies. Remember the names of those leaders, the Chicago Seven? Jerry Rubin. He was Jewish with his big beard. Abby Hoffman with his big beard and all. He was Jewish. Even their lawyer, Kunstler, was a Jew. Even the Judge Hoffman at the trial of the Chicago Seven, he was a Jew. They're all Jews. It was a setup. Then we get to TV, to Hollywood. Oh, man. How can we talk about that? I mean, look. Recently, at the 2009 MTV Awards show, a very well-known actor named Jack Black, came on to receive his award. He's been in many movies, this Jack Black. Some where he talked people rock and roll, another he pretended to be a Mexican wrestler. Oh, he's a great comedian. Oh, he's been on Saturday Night Live. He's Jack Black. He's a great actor and comedian. Guess what he did at the 2009 MTV Awards? He led a prayer. Isn't that wonderful? He led a prayer. This Jewish guy, he's Jewish. Except that it was a prayer to the devil. He said, follow after me, and he prayed to the devil right there at the MTV Awards. Didn't surprise me any. Didn't surprise me at all. CBS, ABC, NBC, filth and smut and all the stuff they give us, lies of the media, they're all run by Jews. Look at some of the politicians. Dianne Feinstein, Senator. Barbara Boxer, Senator. Victor Schumer, Senator. Eric Cantor, Congressman. All these Jews in Congress, just a bunch of filthy fakes who pretend to be American, and they're not. They're Jewish. They're Israelis in disguise. Go to the literature field. Number one best-selling author of the horror genre is Stephen King. He's Jewish. He teaches our kids to all this monstrous, fiendish material. How about X-rated porn? Everybody knows that in northern Los Angeles is where they make most of the XXX movies, X-rated movies, and have all of the websites for porno. Guess who's the leaders of all that? Jews. Of course. I remember a guy named Goldstein. He publishes a magazine that was very popular in the 70s and 80s and still is out there today, I understand. Has a filthy title. The actual name of the magazine, the title of it is Screw. S-C-R-E-W magazine, meaning the sex act. All kind of sex and scenes and porno in this magazine called Screw Magazine. I guess you can only get it. I've never seen the magazine. I guess you can only get it at these adult bookstores. Screw Magazine. But Goldstein was interviewed just a couple years ago. And he was asked, why do you publish this material? Is it just to make money? He says, no, not really. All of us Jews, we run the porno industry in America and the world. Why do we do it? He said, you know, I've given a lot of thought to this, and I finally realized why we do it. Because we hate that blankety-blank Jesus Christ, that's why. And this is like us giving the middle finger to Jesus. The porno, one of the leaders of it, Goldstein, says, the reason we do it is not just to make money. We're defiling people's lives and all that. Yes, sure, so what? He says. But the reason we're doing it is to shoot the middle finger at Jesus Christ. Whew. Is that why you, Hefner, founded Playboy magazine and changed the sexual mores of Americans? Is that why he did it? Is that why these stars like John Huston, or the director John Huston, and his horrible daughter Angelica? Is that why Seinfeld and all these, you know, comedians do all their dirty stuff? Wow. Turned out that Kathy Griffin, she won an award. She's a comedian. Oh, she's been on the cover of all these magazines. They gave her a big HBO special. She got up to get her award. And she says, well, you know, when you give your little thank yous. So she thanked this person, thanked that person for her award as like the best comedian of the year. Then this Kathy Griffin, she's Jewish. She says, and I have a word for Jesus too. Suck it, Jesus. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything. For the devil's people, there's a time. Miss Griffin, Mr. Seinfeld, Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, a Jew. All of these people, I could go on and on. Senator Joseph Lieberman, I wish I had more time, I'd tell you about. He has been the sponsor of every anti-American bill in Congress. He's Jewish. You might want to just call him the senator from Israel. And John McCain and all of them are just puppets of the Jews. There is a time for everything. A time under the sun, it says in Ecclesiastes. And these people are going to have a payday. They think they're rich now. The payday is yet to come. Because it says in Hebrews that it is appointed for a man once to live and die, afterward, the judgment. There's no reincarnation. You don't get a second chance. You blaspheme Jesus. You hate his church. You give us Hollywood. You give us politically corrupt Washington, D.C. You give us all these hateful anti-Christian, anti-American organizations, the ACLU, the B'nai B'rith, the ADL, and all of these groups that are taking prayer out of the schools. Already done it. Prayer out of athletic events. Even Christian manger scenes, and you can't even say Merry Christmas anymore. There's coming a great time. There's a time. They had no fear of God. They did not fear God. This was their vast mistake. The writers of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, this is their great mistake. Proverbs 8, beginning verse 32, the words of Jesus Christ. It says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso find, remember this is the words of Jesus, for whoso findeth me findeth life. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. This is judgment. This is payback. It's coming. But he that sinneth against me, I repeat, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Proverbs 8:36. Thank you for listening to this program today. This has been Tex Mars. My fervent prayer is that you will tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.